This morning, I'm going to talk about studying the Bible.
Amen.
It was about a month ago when John was in Idaho that I shared a short message on studying the Bible. And at that time, I bit off a little bit more than I could chew, and I tried to answer the questions: why do we study the Bible? What does it mean to study the Bible? And how is it that we study the Bible?
Did you want to put study the Bible at the top or study to study?
Well, I study to study. I guess that's what I get for talking while I'm writing. Right? Sorry. Study the Bible. Why study the Bible? What is Bible study? And how do we study the Bible? Well, I thought I was pretty clever, didn't I? Right? I didn't get to the what. I didn't get to the how. And so I just moved why up to the top and said why. The message was why study the Bible. Well, I was a little too clever, I think, because last week John came up to me. He said, "You owe me two more messages." Right? And the first thing I thought of was a verse in Job, where it says, "He taketh the wise in their own craftiness." I got caught. I got caught. Well, anyway, today, so I'm not going to break it down into different parts. Yeah, I've learned my lesson. I've learned my lesson. Anyhow, we can answer those kinds of questions by looking at 1 Timothy 2:15. Please go there with me. 1 Timothy 2:15. I'm sure maybe even you've memorized this verse, but it's actually one verse with two commas and three parts. Right? So let's read it. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, comma, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, comma, rightly dividing the word of truth." The first part of that verse does not say, study to be approved by God. It doesn't say that. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Now, in my Bible, there are some headings up at the top that the publisher put in the Bible. Right? It's not part of the Scripture. It's not inspired. It's not the Word of God. But it's little titles they put up at the top to kind of give you an idea of what's on that page. And at the top of my page of 2 Timothy 2:15, at the top it says, "Work for God's approval." That's what it says. Work. I have a different take on that. Okay? We're not here working for God's approval. Right? We have God's approval. Are you not in Christ? How many here are in Christ? Right. Everybody raise their hand. Right. We are in Christ. The moment that we believe that the work that He did on the cross, the blood that He shed for our sins, the moment we believe that He was buried, resurrected on the third day, we were put into Christ. We were baptized into Christ. We became members of His body. Right? We are identified with His death, burial, and resurrection. We are dead to sin, alive unto God. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're accepted in the Beloved. How could we not? Yeah. Woo! Right? Hallelujah. Right? How could we not be approved? Right? In Christ, when He, God the Father, looks at us, He says, "This is my well-beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." We're in the Beloved. We are well pleased unto God. Right? That's our position in Christ. Right? We have that standing in Christ. This morning we're standing in Christ. Right? Well, we also have a practice. We have not only a position, we have a practice. We not only have a standing, we have a state. And our object, our desire, each one of us, is to match our practice, our state, with our position and our standing. Right? According to that verse, how do we do that? We're approved, right? How do we show that we're approved unto God? Huh? Study. The study. Yeah. Well, it just says study there, doesn't it? Well, what is it that we study? Right? I think in the context, you can find several verses that would tell you that. The verse before 15 is 14. It says, "Of these things, put them in remembrance." Right? Of these things. What are these things? Well, if we go back to verse 2, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. It says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me." Right? The things that we study are the things that Timothy heard from Paul. That Paul received from the glorified, resurrected, and ascended Christ. Right? The revelation that Christ gave to Paul, Paul spoke about. And thank the Lord, he not only spoke about them, he wrote them down, and we study. Right? Webster's 1828 dictionary defines study as literally setting the mind or thoughts on a subject. Setting the mind or thoughts on a subject. Our subject is the Word of God. Okay. Can you give me that bottle of water, Patty? Too much singing. Too much singing is driving me out. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks. So what do we set our mind on, our thoughts? We set them on the Word of God. Okay? There's another verse that goes, to me, very similar to this verse. It's in 1 Timothy. Please look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and let me read to you verse 15. 1 Timothy 4:15. "Meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." Right? Meditate on these things. Set your mind on them. The first meaning of the word study is to set your mind. Right? The second meaning in Webster's dictionary for study is meditate. Meditate. That's very similar, isn't it? Contemplate. Set your mind on what things? On these things. On these things. The context, if I go backwards in chapter 4, if I go backwards from 15, I go to 13, verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and doctrine. Those are part of these things, are they not? Go back, continue up. We're going backwards from 13 to verse 11. These things command and teach. That's a pretty strong word there, command. Right? Command these things. They must be important things. Right? Keep going back in the chapter. Go to verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So these things are contained in words of faith, in good doctrine. We keep going back. Let's go into chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, chapter 14. These things I write unto you. Right? In verse 6, he told Timothy to put the brethren in remembrance of these things. That means they already heard them. Right? Paul told them. Paul spoke these things to the brethren. Now he is charging Timothy to remind him of the things that he said. But again, we really praise the Lord that not only did Paul speak them, right, in 3:14, these things I write unto you. These things are written so that this morning we can set our mind on them. We can meditate on them, right? Sometimes we think study is something hard, and I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of someone who people think is a very intellectual, very knowledgeable. They'll show the picture of him, and then behind him, all kinds of books, right? All kinds of books. His library is there, standing in front of, or sitting in front of a library, right? Because he studies all those books, right? Well, our subject is the one book, right? It's not that you can't have what they call Bible helps. Right, I mentioned the dictionary. Right, you might have a concordance. Right, nowadays your smartphone has just about everything that you need to look up something. Right, I knew a man that I was talking to once about the King James Bible. And he said, I don't like the King James Bible. It has too many old words in it, like concupiscence. Right? I said, do you know what that means? He said, yeah. I looked it up in the dictionary. Right? I said, me too. Now we both know what concupiscence means. Right? Sometimes I consider myself a little bit of a lazy guy. Right, especially after I retired. Emphasis on tired. Right. Right. But I can look up a word in the dictionary, right? If it means that I can understand a verse in the Bible, I'll do that. Right? Well, sometimes we think study is a lot harder than what it really is. And it's true. In 2 Timothy, it refers to a workman. Right, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Right, we do work. Right, but this work is not a physical work. Right, the first time that the word meditate is used in the Bible, I thought of this right away because I love the story of Isaac and Rebecca. You probably know the story of Isaac and Rebecca. Anyway, the first time that word is used in the Bible, it's in reference, it's in Genesis 24, it's in reference to Isaac. It said, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. Eventide is the evening tide. eventide. He went out into a field to meditate. Okay, and I thought about that. Well, first of all, evening is a really, the sun's going down. It's a nice time of the day. The hot part of the day is over. Maybe the work is over. And so now it's a time for Isaac to go out into the field to meditate. And we set our minds, meditate, think about the Word of God. Did Isaac have the Word of God? He says, yes, he did have the Word of God. Right. But he didn't have the written Word of God. Not like we have the written Word of God. But where did he get the Word of God?
From his father.
From his father Abraham. Can you imagine Isaac going out in the evening and thinking about what his dad told him? Right? I remember my dad told me that God Almighty appeared unto him and said, come out here. Come out of your tent. Come outside and look at the stars. And number them if you can. Okay. So shall thy seed be. You got a wonderful, wonderful promise. You also got a promise about a land and a blessing, right? A nation would come out of him. I just imagine that Isaac went out in the field to think about that, to consider that. That's just the first part of the verse. The second part says, and he saw camels coming. Right, that was Eliezer and Rebekah. I don't know, maybe he was meditating about Rebekah, I don't know. But he might have been meditating about what his father Abraham had told him. Right. We meditate on these things. The things that Paul received from Christ. Look with me to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. First Corinthians 11 and 19. I'm going to read 18, I guess. 1 Corinthians 11, 18. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Right? In 2 Timothy, it said, to show yourself approved unto God. 1 Timothy, he said, that your profiting will appear unto all. Here it says that those who are approved may be made manifest. Right? These are all an outward show of what got inside. Right? By the way, heresies in this verse is just false teaching, false doctrine. Right? Well, how do you know something's false? It's because you know the truth. That you know the truth. You've heard this probably before, but the Treasury Department, the U.S. Treasury Department, when they hire people for their counterfeit department, right, to catch the counterfeiters. When they hire somebody new, they don't show them the counterfeits. They show them the real thing. They study the real thing. The real currency. So that what? When the counterfeit comes along, they know that's not real. Right? Who's the big counterfeiter? Right? Satan is the big counterfeiter. Right, but when his teachings come along, the approved, that's you, because you study, because you set your mind on the things of God, you set your mind on the Word of God, you know the truth, the Word of truth, rightly dividing the Word of truth. If you know the truth, you can spot the counterfeit. Okay. One more verse about study. 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11. Study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you. Right? Study to be quiet. Once again, he doesn't say what to study, but if you look at the context, let's just go up to verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Paul taught the Thessalonians, right, the Word of God. So when he says study, he's talking about study what I've taught you. Study what was revealed to me and spoken unto you. Right? And when it says study to be quiet, that's not talking about being silent. Right? The Thessalonians were under some pretty severe persecution. You look back on into chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, I'm going to read verse 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. So, they're under affliction, persecution, outwardly, it's chaotic. It's noisy. All right. Paul told the Philippians, beware of dogs. Right? Evil workers, concision. Right? There's a lot of dog barking out there. Right? They were under attack. So he tells them to study. Study the Word. Studying. Oh, there's a dog. Studying brings a calmness. It brings quietness to the inner man. Outwardly, right, there's noise. Inwardly, it's quiet. Right? It's calm. Right? Amen. Please go with me to Colossians, right before 1 Timothy. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Colossians 4, 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Another purpose of studying is for that sound doctrine to get into your soul, so when the questions come, you have answers. Right? If you don't study, if you don't have the Word, you want to answer questions with the Word of God. Not, you shouldn't answer questions. You don't want to hear me up here saying, I think. You don't want to hear those words from me. Right. I think this, or it's my opinion of that. Right? You want to hear the Word of God being spoken. You came here this morning to study the Word of God. Okay, we do that together, so that we have answers for those that come with questions. There's another good verse in 1 Peter about this. If you go to 1 Peter, chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Right. Study to give an answer. Not only to yourselves. I'm sure you have questions too. Right. When you have a question, where do you go? The first place you should go is the Word of God. Right. Okay, so why do we study the Bible? We study the Bible to show ourselves approved unto God. That it would be made manifest. Right? That it would appear, our profiting would appear unto all. We study the Bible to have that inward peace and quietness. We also study to have answers for those who ask. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 2:15. And the second part of this verse, right? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, that they needeth not to be ashamed, a workman. So, workman, that does imply what? Work. It does imply work. But it's not that kind of work that, for example, results in your salvation. We're not working for God's approval to be saved. Right? That work has been done. That work was done 2,000 years ago on the cross. Right? We believe in the work and we trust in the work that somebody else has done. Right? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the redemptive work that Christ did on the cross, is what we trust in. We trust in. That's what gives us our salvation, our justification. We're declared right. Not because what we have done, right? In Titus it says, not because of works of righteousness which we have done, right? We're trusting in the work that someone else, that Christ did on our behalf. We're trusting that He did something that we could not do. Right? But what kind of work is that? I remember when we first came to Berean Bible Ministries. I remember very clearly the first day that Patty and I came. We came on time for the second meeting, the 11 o'clock meeting. We came on time. But the doors were closed. We kind of peeked in the doors, and there's John still sharing on the first meeting. Right? That's not unusual if you come on time for the second meeting to find John still sharing on the first meeting. Right? When we came in, we sat in the back. And we did that. And at that time, he was sharing on Hebrews in the morning and Ephesians in the second meeting. We only did that twice, coming for the second meeting, because I said, I want to hear about Hebrews too. Right. I want to hear about Hebrews. So we started coming to the first and second meeting, right? And we saw the people were sitting at tables. I call them work tables, maybe work benches, right? And I remember Patty told me, she said, these people mean business. These people mean business. You know, I think that maybe that sometimes scares people away. You got to want it. Right? You got to want it. What else do we have here besides that? The Word of God. Right?
We got no whistles and bells.
No bells and whistles. No bells and whistles. But we got the real goods. We got the word. We have the word of God. It's preached, right? And it's the word of God that does the work of God, right? You're a workman because the word of God is working in you. It's working in you, right? Word in, word out, right? It doesn't just stay in you; it comes out of you as well. But what kind of work is it? I want you to look with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And there's a section in this chapter that talks about some details regarding the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that's not what I'm sharing on this morning, and I'm not really here to share about that. But what I want to do is I want to read through the verses, and I want to pick out a couple words. Okay? So let's start, and I'll write them on the board. Let's start in verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own what?
Labor.
Okay. I'm going to write the words up there. Labor. Verse 9. For we are laborers. Together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's what?
Building.
Verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise what?
Master builder.
Master builder. I have laid the foundation. You can see where we're going. And another buildeth thereupon. I'm going to use a more current word. He builds. Buildeth. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work. We've got work. Shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So, I picked out these words. Does it give you some kind of picture? Labor, laborers, building, master builder, foundation, build, work. It gives you the idea of something being constructed, something being built. Correct? So, what is it that's being built? Right? Well, before I go there, I want to take a quick look at Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. We're talking about building. Proverbs 24. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul highly recommends you build with non-flammable material. Right? Something that stands the test of fire. He calls it gold, silver, precious stones. Proverbs 24, verse 3. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers, the rooms of that building, be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Right. So in 1 Corinthians 3, it's gold, silver, precious stone. In Proverbs 24, it's wisdom, knowledge, understanding. I'm going to suggest to you that those are equal. That one is talking about the other. Well, where do you get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? Where does that come from? The reading the Word. Right? I have to do it quick. Proverbs 2. As long as we're in Proverbs, we'll look at Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2, I guess I'll have to start in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord, and find knowledge, the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, where? Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Right? The gold, silver, precious stone that we, as workmen, at our workbenches, work with is the Word of God, which brings you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 11. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, and for the edifying, for the building up of the body of Christ. Drop down to verse 16. For time, 15 ends with the word Christ. 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Okay. So, we are all joints supplying the body with our work, right? Which we get from the Word of God. This is the Word of God doing the work of God. That is building up the body of Christ, right? Taking in the sound doctrine into our soul, speaking to one another, and building one another up. That's what workmen do. If you wouldn't mind going back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, this verse finishes with this phrase, rightly dividing the word of truth. Right? Study you workmen. Right? Study what? The word of truth. How? How do we study the Bible? How do we study the word? Rightly divided. It makes a difference. The first time I met John Verstegen was at a conference in San Clemente. I had never been to a meeting here. It was the first introduction I had to this assembly. A friend, Dan, had invited a gentleman from his apartment complex, whom I knew. He called me. He said, "I want to go there. Will you go with me?" I said, "Sure." And we went. We listened to one message. That's all. We were there for one message and lunch. Right. Then we listened to some question and answers with Brother Richard Jordan. But after John had given that message that we heard, and so everybody's kind of milling around, getting lunch ready, and John was up at the front, standing by this chart. So I don't know anything. I went up and I introduced myself, and I said this. I said, "I know where I'm at. I'm right here." Right? Why does all this stuff matter? Why does it matter? I know where I'm at. That's pretty self thinking about it. It's a very self-centered question to ask. I know where I'm at. You know, why all this other stuff? Why are you folding this thing back and forth? And I just didn't understand. Right? And I don't remember everything that he said to me. I don't even remember the message that he gave. I just remember this one thing. He told me, it matters to God. It matters to God. God has designed this book that we study in such a way that there is time past. There's a section of this book, time past. We're not living in the past. Right? We're not living under the law. We're living in the present. We're living in the but now. And we are very happy about our future. Right? It's a very positive thing to know what the future is all about. It's a motivation for us to live today. Today is kind of hard sometimes. But it's not going to be that way forever, because we know there's a future. Does all this matter to you? And I think about things. I think about the end of Matthew 26. No, Matthew chapter 6. After the prayer that they prayed. People call it Our Father. It's really a kingdom prayer. Right? How does it end? It ends saying, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." It's a conditional. If you forgive somebody, then you'll get forgiven. If you don't think it means that, the very next verses he says very clearly, right? In case you misunderstood, he said, if you forgive your brother, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive your brethren, you don't forgive your brother, then your heavenly Father won't forgive you. Okay? Paul says in Ephesians, I'm just going to read it to you real quick. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath," past tense, "forgiven you." We've been forgiven. And out of that appreciation, right, and knowledge and love of God for what He has done for us, we can forgive other people. Our motivation is love. But the motivation back here, right, is that if you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. Right, that's fear. That's a different kind of motivation. Right? There's lots of examples. Why does James say that Faith without works is dead. Right? But Paul says that we're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Are those two things the same? No, they're not. My bottom line is that it matters. It matters to us. Right? And it matters to God. Time's up. Did I finish, Garrett?
You're going to do seven more?
This wasn't recorded, was it? Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. There's the bells. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you that we have your word. Thank you we can set our minds on your word. Thank you it does a work inside of us. It works in us to work out of us. It works out our salvation. Right? Because it's you that work in us, both the willing to will and to work for your good pleasure. It's not all about us. It's about your plan and your purpose. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.